to find the strength that he needed from God. And Jesus just didn't pretend. I just think this is so helpful to us. Now, I find in my regular life that some of us are much more easy to be in touch with the emotional side. Some of us are definitely more analytical. You know, it's not easy to, like, express things. Now, I don't know that God doesn't have any ideal personality. You know, some people are right brain, some people are left brain, some people are extroverts, some people are introverts. God doesn't want us all the same. However, there is an aspect to this that we need to realize, that when we cannot express our emotions to God, there is an element in which we are not fully able to experience God. And so for some of us, it's quick. Some of us immediately just, you know, spills out. Others of us, we need a time where we're worshiping God and we're taking a longer period of time to let those layers kind of be peeled off, to finally we get down to the heart issue and we're able to say, oh God, I'm really concerned about this. Oh God, this is the thing that's stressing me in my life right now. I'm bringing it to you. You know, sometimes, again, I talk about polite prayers. Polite prayers are the type of prayers where you kind of say things very mildly and, you know, with not too much emphasis, and you just kind of matter-of-fact prayers. This is not the way that Jesus prayed many times. He prayed with earnest intensity. He prayed out of his heart. He prayed out of his emotion, with tears, with loud cries. Now you say, well, I don't pray like that. Say, well, I'm not saying that you have to pray like that. What I'm saying is that it's a good example to us to be free to release our heart and emotions to God. And if you never have stress in your life, if you never face disappointment in your life, if everything is smooth in your life, well, you probably aren't going to pray like this. But I suspect that you might. You just might face some things in your life that cause you pain. Just possibly in your life, you'll be disappointed by friends. Just possibly, there will be goals that you have that are thwarted. And what are you going to do? Are you going to cover it up? Are you just going to kind of be stoic? Going to just kind of go along? I think, you know, we need to be at the depth of life where we can feel and experience things, because if we don't, we can't really love. Love is an action, but love comes out of compassion. And when Jesus loved people, it was the way he treated them in kindness and the way he helped them, but he wasn't a stoic helping. I'm going to heal this person now. Okay, be healed. I see you have a need, I'll help you. No, it's passion. There was compassion that came out of him. He was moved in his spirit. And if you're going to be moved in your spirit with love, you're also going to experience a lot of pain. You can't be a person who loves God and loves people without being very vulnerable and having your heart open to pain. But how do you deal with that pain? You have to deal with it by bringing it to God, by casting your care on him, by saying, I'm hurting. This is the stress I'm under. Hear me. So, you know, unfortunately, as a church, we tend to be a very quiet praying church. I mean, I say unfortunately. I mean, I think we're a little bit timid, right? Some churches, they all cry together. All right? Now, I don't know if that's just contagious, that everyone cries together, if you make yourself cry, or everyone has learned to, okay, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get my heart vulnerable enough where I can really express myself. I think we need to grow in this area. I'm taking a little more time because I don't think that many of us have learned how to do this very well. If you were with Jesus, you might feel uncomfortable. Keep it down a little bit. Do you have to pray so loud? It's all right. You don't have to cry. No. Jesus, give it. Let him give it to God. Right? So I really want to encourage us that We follow Jesus' example. How did Jesus pray? He prayed with earnest intensity. He prayed expressing the fullness of what was on his heart. Third, Jesus prayed with passionate perseverance. And as you know from the other accounts, that three times that Jesus prayed this prayer about whether or not he should, whether God would remove this cup that he was about to drink, this cup of suffering, or whether or not he had to go to the cross. And it says he kept praying. And why did he keep praying? Why not just one time? Why did he have to persevere? Because there was a process in prayer by which he was strengthened, and he didn't stop praying until he was finally had worked it through to the place where that strength was so settled in him that the love of God had so surrounded him and that the will of God was so confirmed in him that he could go out of that garden in all stability, with all calmness of mind, with all realization, I'm ready for what I'm about to face. It's because he persevered in prayer. You know, we know at least he prayed an hour. Because when he came back to his disciples who were sleeping, he said, could you not pray with me 1 hour? We know that there were other times Jesus prayed all night long. When we read the prayer, we're reading a very brief summary of his prayer. I mean, this prayer could have taken, 20 seconds to pray? Just one sentence. It wasn't a one-sentence prayer. It was an ongoing discussion and talk. He was reviewing the scriptures. He was pouring out his heart. He was engaging with God in a process of perseverance until he knew he reached a place where he was ready to do the will of God. Now, God has called all of us to do things, you know, to go out and love difficult people in our labs. He's called us to face situations where people are going to reject us. If we're going to be ministering, he's going to call us to enter into the life with him. And how do we get there? How do we get to the place where we know when we're going to go into that difficult situation that we're going to do God's will? It's because we have prayed and we've become strengthened and we keep persevering until we get to that point. That's what Jesus is modeling for us. You know, in an earlier time in Jesus' ministry, when he was preaching, there were some cities that rejected his ministry. I mean, they just totally said, we don't want you. It wasn't infrequent in Jesus' life that he faced rejection. And one of the times, this in Matthew, after he was rejected, he prayed. And this is what he prayed. I praise you, Father. There again, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Jesus, in his prayer, he was able to praise and thank God because he was secure in his ministry. His ministry wasn't determined by whether that city or that person received him. Jesus often had to preach into the face of apparent failure. He often had to preach into the faces of people who would leave evidently unchanged, evidently unconvinced, evidently unwilling to repent and turn and follow him. People who were self-centered, thinking about only what they would get from Jesus, not willing to lay down their lives in adoration and submission and to doing God's will. And in the face of unrepentant people who turned away from his love, his response was to pray. He prayed. Now, persistent prayer is set in the contrast to the disciples' inability to persist in prayer because they fell asleep in the garden. Now, the question is, Jesus with compassion looked at them sleeping. Now, Luke tells us why they were so sleepy. Do you remember why they're so sleepy? Sorrow. It says they were exhausted with sorrow. They had emotional tiredness, not only physical tiredness, but emotional tiredness. And because of that, they were sleeping. So it was, you know, depression pushes us to tiredness and to sleep. Jesus was sorrowful. He had the same depression pushing on him, the same stress, more than they did. But he prayed. So what we have to see is that there is a choice involved. One way is to give in to our tiredness and say, I'm not going to seek God, I'm going to sleep. The other way is to say, I am so much sorrowful, and my response is, I need to go to God. I think one of the reasons why we don't pray like Jesus prayed is because of tiredness. Isn't that true? Some of you say, the reason I don't have a good prayer life is I'm too tired in the morning. Some of you say, the reason I don't pray like Jesus is because I'm too tired in the evening. Some of you say, the reason I don't pray like Jesus is because I'm tired all the time. Right? Tiredness might be the number one excuse why people don't pray. Now, Jesus just totally disarms this excuse. If there's anybody who should have said, hey, I got a good night's sleep tonight. I got a terrible day coming tomorrow. I know what's coming. Judas is coming. Pilate's coming. The cross is coming. I better go to sleep. No. Jesus' response was, if necessary, I'm praying all night to get ready. I'm going to persevere against this tiredness because there's something more important than my sleep. Just like Jesus said, the word of God was more important than food. So prayer is more important than sleep. Now, Jesus wasn't saying we don't need to eat, and Jesus wasn't saying we don't need to sleep. Don't get me as super spiritual, right? Okay, if you pray, all of a sudden, you won't have to sleep anymore. No. But when we are faced with choices about whether to press into God or to sleep, the issue is, are we going to have a pattern of seeking God? And Jesus shows us that. Jesus, let's share one other time when Jesus prayed here. This is the time when Jesus is going to select the 12 guys that are going to be with him. And he spends a whole night praying. We're told in Luke 6 that one of those days Jesus went out to a mountaintop to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them whom he designated apostles. Now, why spend such a long time praying? Obviously, the prayer of all-night prayer is related to what happens in the morning. You can see the connection. And I think that one of the reasons is that this prolonged period of prayer is the method by which Jesus obtained the emotional fortitude that would be required to minister in the presence of the very one that he knew that he was going to select that would betray him. In that night of prayer, he had to wrestle because the scripture very clearly tells us that Jesus knew ahead of time that when he picked Judas, he knew Judas was the one who was going to betray him. And so to be able to take the serpent into his bosom, to be able to allow the one that Satan was going to use to so cause suffering and pain and to draw him close, he spent the night of prayer so he could be strengthened that when he came down from that mountain, he could look at Judas and say, you come close to me. I invite you, Judas, to be in my inner circle. Come! It's because he spent the night in prayer. And you know, he had won that battle so much, and so effectively did he love Judas, that after 3 years, when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, none of them, they didn't all point to Judas and say, oh yeah, we saw, you were, along the way you were saying, see this guy, he's, watch out for this guy. No, he loved Judas so much, they couldn't figure out who it was. That is the type of love that Jesus had, that knowing the one who would betray him, he persevered in love because he persevered in prayer. What a Savior. What a Lord. What a great... Can we follow this type of prayer? Can we follow the type of prayer where we're intimate with God, where we know God as our Father? Can we have the type of prayer where we're totally open with God? Just say, God, here's my heart. Let me tell you what's going on. Can we have the type of prayer where we don't stop praying until we get strengthened to do God's will, and strengthened it with emotional stability, so that when we come out, we're ready to face the very people who will hurt us in our life? That is the type of prayer life that Jesus had. And then lastly, Jesus prayed with reverent submission. His prayer, the goal of his prayer, was to be strengthened to do God's will. The type of prayer that Jesus was praying was not to try and get God, his Father, to do something that he wanted for himself. He wanted the very thing that his Father wanted, but he had to work it through in order to... He knew what God's will was, but he wanted a strength and a confirmation to do the will, and that was being worked out in the garden. I don't, you know, Jesus is kind of like reviewing the plan with God again and saying, listen, my goal is to do your will. Let's just review this together because this is so, like, difficult. I really need to know that this is it. And he's kind of, you know, he knew, but he needed that confirmation again. It doesn't mean he was sinning. He was a human being pressed in so that his blood pressure was rising under the stress, even to the place where the capillaries in his head were breaking and the blood was coming out of his head because of that stress. And so he wants to make sure of God's will, and he settles it. Let me ask you, when you pray, what is the focus of your prayers? Is the focus of your prayer to discover and to be settled in the will of God? Instead of just bringing a laundry list, God, here's all the things that I want, or God, here's all the things that I need. God says we can bring all of our needs and all of our requests to him. But the bottom line is, if our prayer life is governed by the desire to do God's will, and what we're pressing into in our prayer life is saying, God, strengthen me to do your will. Lord, confirm for me what you want me to do. Lord, make your word alive to me so I know which direction to go. You will be heard because of your reverent submission as Jesus was heard. Wow. Lord, teach us to pray like this. Teach us to pray. Yeah, this is what we long for. Don't we? Don't we want to? Wouldn't you have liked to have been in that prayer meeting where Jesus was praying in the garden? I don't know how those guys slept. I mean, I know they slept because of tiredness and sorrow, but how did they sleep when Jesus was crying? How did they go to sleep when they heard Jesus crying to his Father? I mean, I know it was a stone's throw away, but it was close enough where they could hear. You know, if we were to have a prayer meeting right now, say, okay, and Jesus could bodily come, not just by his Spirit, but he was here, and you could pray next to him. Would you want that? We say, I want to hear Jesus praying. That'd be cool. Well, here it is. And those guys had a chance, and they went to sleep. And God wants to invite us in to experience prayer like Jesus did. Now, you might not be going to the cross, but Jesus said you have a cross to pick up daily and follow him. There is the life in following Jesus that causes us to have to face many trials and many difficulties with joy. If we want to live the fruitful life, we're going to have to press into prayer because it will require us to do great things for God. People who pray and are motivated then by faith to go out and do the accomplishments of God are going to be under great stress. This is our model. This is what we must follow. We must pray like Jesus prayed. So last week, the challenge that we were given was to find our secret place. The challenge was to start to have a regular prayer life and to set aside a place where we would do that. That's what we were responding to last week. Well, today, this is the request. This is the challenge. This is the opportunity. Based on Jesus here, his example of praying for 1 hour. Now, some people, they pray for 1 hour every day. That is their prayer life. Some people pray for more than 1 hour a day. I think most people don't. So how about once this week that we pray for 1 hour? Now, if you want to get together with someone and pray for 1 hour, that's very helpful. That's why morning prayer meetings that people have when they get together with others, it's a great encouragement for them. Let's pray together for 1 hour. We have done that in the past, and we don't have a time set up for that together. But how about either in your own personal time or with someone else, praying for an hour. I think that's doable, don't you? I mean, we can, I think in response to the message, and we want to practice, we don't want to just hear a message on prayer. We want to be able to say, okay, what do I do with this message? And part of the reason, you say, why pray for an hour again? Like I said, there's some things that cannot come out of your heart very quickly. Some things need time as you worship and as you're talking to God and they unravel, and then finally you get down to the core issues. Finally, you can finally cry to God. So I'm going to pray, and as we pray, I'm just going to ask that you listen and see if God would say, yes, I want you to make this commitment. I mean, I know it would be easy just to say, oh, I'm going to do that because Pastor Rich is giving us a challenge, but let's see. If God says for you to do this week, then you respond in faith and you say, okay, Lord, I'll do that. So let's go ahead and pray.